Sagt der Heilige Mishnah weiter, Mesechtes Ahalois, Perik Tesvav, Mishnah Ches. Chatzar HaKever. Chatzar HaKever, what does that mean? Chatzar is a chatzar, a courtyard, that is surrounded by four caves on all four sides. One is standing in this courtyard, there's a cave to his right, there's a cave to his front, there's a cave to his left, and if he turns around, there's a cave. And in these caves, mesim are buried. In the times of the Mishnah, the minig was to bury mesim in caves. Caves that were dug underneath the ground. So you had a courtyard in the center, that was called Chatzar HaKever. On all four sides, they dug out these caves. They were like rooms that opened up to the courtyard in the middle. And in the walls of these caves, they dug out what's called kuchim. Basically, they were like shelves. And inside they put the mace. There was one mace for each kuch. Zakta Mishnah, interestingly enough, ha'oimed b'soichev, someone would stand in this courtyard, even, this is a big even if he is within four amos next to a mace in the cave, tar, he is tahar. What's the reason for this? Generally speaking, Chazal were geyser, that a person who finds himself within four amos of a mace becomes tameh. If he touched, even if he did not touch, even if he didn't lean over it. Anyone that's within four amos of a mace becomes tameh. That's a gzeira. Why did they make this gzeira? Because they wanted to train people that eat truma or kachim. They have to eat when they're tahar. They shouldn't come next to a mace. If he stands too close to the mace, where skid is going to lean over the mace without thinking what he's doing, without realizing it. And he'll wind up eating truma or kachim when he's tummy. However, this gzeira does not apply to someone who's standing in this chatzar hakever, which again means the courtyard surrounded by caves. Why? Because he's standing in such a separate area. It's so clear, this is the courtyard and those are the caves. The mechitzas clearly draw a distinction, shows us the difference. So I'm not so chayshish, I'm not so worried that by mistake he's going to lean over a mace. He realizes now he's in the chatzar, there's the mire where the mesim are buried. So even if he happens to be standing in the courtyard, next to the four amos of the mace in a cave, he does not become tamei there. So once again, chatzar hakever, the courtyard that's surrounded by the kever, if someone is standing inside, even within arba amos of a mace in one of the caves, the din is tar, he is tar. But there's a condition. The courtyard has to be big enough. The area of the courtyard has to be 4 amos by 4 amos, according to the Beis Shammai. Whereas the Beis Hillel have a much smaller shear. The Beis Hillel say, Arba tfachim, it's enough if this chatzar is 4 by 4 tfachim. What's the basis here of the machloikis between the Beis Shammai and the Beis Hillel? He's standing in the chatzar. He's surrounded by caves. Now, he's not going to stay for the rest of his life. He has to leave. In order to get out of the chatzar, he's going to have to somehow climb over one of the walls of these caves, the outside wall. In order to climb, you have to grab onto something. You can't just walk up a straight wall. And what I'm concerned is as he's looking for something to hold on to swing himself up on top, to be able to leave, part of him is going to wind up entering into the opening of the Myra, the opening of the cave. So according to the Beis Shammai, if the chatzar does not have 4 amos by 4 amos, it's come out impossible to climb over here without his hand going into the Pesach, the opening of one of the maris. So this din, that standing in the chatzar your tar, is only, say the Beis Shammai, if you have 4 amos by 4 amos. The Beis Hillel say, now you can maneuver yourself, even in an area of 4 by 4 tfachim, that as you're climbing out, you don't go into any of the openings of the maris. When could the chatzar be mamish small, and everybody would agree you don't become tamei? That's if it's only surrounded by 3 sides. If you have one clear side to be able to leave, that there's no cave there, so there's no problem. The whole problem is he has to climb near a cave or over a cave in order to get out. Let's chazar over the Mishnah till this point. You have what's called the chatzar hakever. You may remember the sugya from the Masechtas Bava Basra. There was a chatzar in the middle. On all four sides, there are caves. In these caves, there are like shelves. In the shelves, they buried mesim. Those shelves are called kuchim. Someone stands in this chatzar, even if he's within 4 amos of a mes, he is tahar. However, the Beis Shammai say the area has to have 4 amos by 4 amos to make sure he can get out without him in his climbing out, winding up in the Pesach Hamara. The Basil say 4x4 Tfachim is enough. And when do you have a minimum shear of the Chatzar? That's only if it's surrounded by four sides. But if it's only surrounded by three sides and he has a way out, so I don't have this problem. So regardless of how small the Chatzar is, I'm not scared he's going to wind up in the Pesach of the Mara. Now let's go to the second part of our Mishnah. Kaira, this beam is wide at the bottom and narrow on the top. She'asa goylel, it was made into a goylel, a kever for a kever. What does goylel mean? Generally speaking, goylel was a large stone, a wide stone that they used to close up a kever from on top. What's the lashon of goylel? It's based on the pasuk where Yaakov Avinu came v'golulu es ha'evin me'alpi haber, and he rolled the stone off the bear. So a stone on an opening, we're using the lashon of goylel. The din is that a goyel is metama b'maga, if you touch it, or b'ayel, if you lean over it. The chiddush in goyel, in the halacha that a goyel is metama, is even though a stone is not mekabel tuma, the stone itself can't become tuma, but it could be metama, someone who touches it or who leans over it. Now let's see our Mishnah. Kaira, we have here this big beam. Shasa goylel a kever. We turned it into a cover for a kever. In other words, we used it as a cover for a kever. Bein oimedes, whether it's standing upright. Matzevis and chutzlars, if you notice, stand upright. Bein muta al tzida, or whether it's laying on the floor on its side. In Eretz Yisrael, matzevis lay on the floor. Zak de Mishnah, ein tamei el keneged ha-pesach. As explained, this beam is wider at the bottom and narrower on the top. At the bottom, because it's wider, the center of the beam covers the kever, but it protrudes on two sides, where on those two sides it doesn't cover the kever. Zakta Mishnah, yes. If he touches or leans over the goylel, he's going to become tameh, but only over the goylel part, only over the part of the beam that's over the kever. Not the part at the bottom, which sticks out on either side, that's not over the kever. Zakta Mishnah Vayter. What if the wide part is on top and the narrow part is on bottom? That's what the Mishnah means. Asa roisha goylel la kever. The Mishnah is calling the narrow part the top of the beam. So he took the top of the beam, the narrow part, and that was the cover over the kever. So now at the bottom, the beam fits perfectly in its width exactly over the kever. It doesn't stick out on either side. But on the top, it protrudes on both sides, right? Like a tree, narrow at the bottom, wider at the top. Zak de Mishnah, ein tamei ela ad arba tfachim. So if he touches the sides, which now are on the top of the goylel, but the ma'aser not over the kever, he's tar. If he touches even the part that's over the mace, that's over the pesach of the kever, he would only be tamei, ein tamei, ela adar ba tfachim. Only if he touches from the floor, from the kever, four tfachim up. But above four tfachim, he would not be tamei. When? Ubizman shi osted lagoid. If his plan is to cut off the top of the beam and to use it. So we say, plans are cutting it off. So it's not really designated to stay here as a kever. We're going to consider it as if it's cut already. The only thing is, within four tfachim from the floor, that's always going to be part of the kever. For that, he would always be tamei. And what about in the previous case, where the white part is on the bottom? Same thing, explained the Mefarshim. Take a look at the Taisus Yom Tov here. If you plan on cutting off the top part, one would only be tamei if he touches the part at the bottom, which is over the Pesach, up until four tfachim. Now, why the Mishnah presents it in these two separate cases, okay, that's discussed over here in the Mefarshim. But basically, the Mishnah is telling us two halachas and two different positions of the goylel. First, the Mishnah is telling us when the wide part is at the bottom, I'm just letting you know, you're only tamei if you touch the middle, not the part that's to the side of the kever. If the wide part is on top, I'm telling you now another halacha, that if you plan on cutting it, even if you touch the part that's over the kever, You would only be tamei if you touched it within four tvachim of the ground. That's if you planned on cutting it, and that's true in all cases, whether the wide part is on top, whether the wide part is at the bottom. Lisa Tanakama holds that way. Rabbi Yehuda says, even if he plans on cutting off the top part, you should know kula chibur. It's all considered connected. It all is a din of gailul. As long as he didn't physically cut it off, even higher than four tvachim. It has din of gail, and if he touches it or leans over it, he's going to become tummy. Take a look here in the Tveres Yisrael and the Mishnah Achrayin, and they explain, this is a general machloikis in the Tanakam and Rabbi Yehuda, whether something that you plan on cutting is already considered cut even before you physically cut it. Okay, let's chaz over the second part of our Mishnah. We learned about a gail, which is a cover for a kever. We said even if it's stone, if you touch it or lean over it, one becomes tummy. In this case, he's using a wooden beam. In the first case of the Mishnah, it's wider at the bottom, narrow at the top. So the Mishnah is telling us one halacha that in Bechlal, you're only tummy if you touch the part that's over the kever. If he touches the bottom where it's not over the kever, because it protrudes on both sides, he's not tummy. And that's true whether the beam is standing or it's lying. If it's wider at the bottom and the wider part is not over the kever, you touch that part, you're tar. If the wider part is on top, here the Mishnah adds another halacha, which is really true for both cases anyway, and that is, if you plan on cutting it, one would only be tamei if he touches the lower part, the part that's within four tvachim of the kever. That's according to the Tanakhama, even though he didn't cut it yet, but if he plans on cutting it, the top part is not considered a goyel for the kever. Rabbi Yehuda says, it doesn't help me what he plans on doing. Until he cuts it, it's all a goyel, and anything over the Pesach would make him tamei. Zakta Taisis Yamtiv. Let's say it's a very narrow kever for whatever reason. And even without the top part being wider, the sides aren't over the actual Pesach of the kever. Same halacha. He would be tar. The Mishnah is just clapping on. Normally it doesn't work that way. But the point is, if it's not over the Pesach, one is tar. Another possible example of this machloikis in the Tanakhama and Reb Yehuda, whether if you plan on cutting something, if it's considered cut or not, is in regard to tivling a keli. Let's say you have a keli with a very long handle. I have a pot that has an exceptionally long handle. I can't maneuver it with this long handle. I'm going to cut off part of the handle. Right now I'm tivling the keli. Do I have to tivle the part that I'm going to cut off? Because that's not really going to be part of the keli. The Tanakhama says no, because you plan on cutting it. Rabbi Yehuda says, very nice that you plan on cutting it. But until you actually cut it, if you want to tivle this keli, you'll have to tivle the entire keli, including the handle.